This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Finish them and give us the series that Miami wants, even though I'm not sure how much I actually want it because it's going to feel bad. I don't know how often this happens to an emotional fan base where you want your team to win, but you don't think it's going to win. I don't know how much fan bases do that.
That's interesting. At this point, I think the Heat fan base probably feels like it could win any series. I think, you know, obviously the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. They have the two best players, but I think the Heat have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
But what you just said on the front end there almost always wins yes. in basketball. The yes. two things that you said, the Lakers are and have been better outside the bubble. And it's not a small thing, right? Because this distortion makes it hard to analyze some of this stuff. But before we came on the air here, Stugatz said something under his breath during the open where he was saying, or alleging during the open, that he was saying to Jake Crawford lovingly that he was wearing too much makeup. And I think you said you could carve stuff in his face.
Yeah.
But that you meant that lovingly. And while that was playing, you said under your breath in here, I say everything lovingly, you said.
I did.
I don't dislike anybody.
I said that.
And it reminded me of something that happened yesterday, and I need to have like a press conference here. I need to officially tell America this because I have been bombarded over the last couple of days with, or not the last couple of days, it's felt like days. It's been 24 hours since the All the Smoke podcast came out with Allen Iverson, where he was very strong starting a statement, I don't hate anybody. And then he detoured and he said, no, I do hate somebody, actually. And then he went very hard without saying who that person was. And at the end, he said, and his daddy, too. And once he said, and his daddy, too, I'm like, oh, no, here it comes for me. Because how many people do you want to go after on dads? And I thought, what did Mike Golic say about Allen Iverson? And I thought, what did Greg Cody or Chris Cody say about Allen Iverson?
He started going through the Rolodex of dads.
Well, because this is why I was getting all the texts and everything, because people think it's me. It is not me. It is. I don't have any issue with Allen Iverson. I've never had an issue with Allen Iverson. I've wrote flattering things about Allen Iverson. I don't know whether my dad has any issues with Allen Iverson, but I had not heard the expression and his daddy too. If they're not talking about daddy, so who's he talking about?
The internet is positive that he's talking about Jason Whitlock.
So the daddy is Clay Travis?
I don't know who the daddy is. It might be his actual daddy.
Right.
Sort of like Bleep You and the horse you rode in on.
Okay, but it's not his actual daddy then. It's not the horse that he rode in on. And if either me or Whitlock rode in on a horse, that horse would not be riding. That horse would be dying. But I just want everyone to know, everyone needs to know, I am not the person Allen Iverson is going after. Please stop bombarding me with questions about that.
They really thought it was you?
Well, Allen Iverson came very strong after this person.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Dan, too, because I saw the clip. I'm like, he's got to be talking about someone who famously has another dad in media. I'm like, Jeremy Schapp? Like, what's going on here? But then, like, all the mentions were, it's Jason Whitlock, and they started posting helpful videos as to why it might be Jason Whitlock, so I'm fairly certain that it's Jason Whitlock.
Okay. We've talked too much about this already. One of the things I have to call myself out on, because Billy called me out on it at the end of the local hour, you could get our local hour and the Big Suey wherever it is you get stuff on your devices.
Check out the Big Suey today. Bomani was exceptional.
He really was.
I know that's sort of commonplace whenever we talk about Bomani because he's always exceptional, but this was strong.
Yes, it was 40 minutes of just very strong stuff from Bomani Jones in general and just basically factual and illuminating in a way that he is that I've never seen in sports media all the years covering sports media. I've never seen someone who could take complicated issues and make them bite-sized and digestible for people in a way that doesn't allow you to refute, really. So check that out, the Big Suey. But the thing that Billy pointed out to me, because I did this trick, and it's a rhetorical trick, and no one's ever called me on the rhetorical trick. And it's a rhetorical trick I see all the time, Stugatz, in college sports when people are talking about college football games. I just said that the kicker for the University of Miami, Miami's playing FSU this weekend, and I've been saying Miami has a quarterback and a kicker, and I'm delighting in the fact that the University of Miami has a kicker, has a player, an important player named Jose. I just love that in this heavily Latin market that we have, that we've got a Jose going out there and kicking for the University of Miami. He came through FIU, Billy's program. And I did the trick, and you tell me whether you hear this on broadcasts all the time. He's one of the best in college football at his position. And they're talking about like a guard,
yep,
or they're talking about an outside linebacker, and you hear it and you're like, this guy doesn't actually know whether this is one of the best players in college football at his position, but he's saying it because he could get away with it because we don't know all the linebackers and all the guards in college football.
Right, who's going to check him on it? Exactly.
Well, Billy checked me,
yeah,
and he came after me, and he said, Dan, that is not... Well, he accused me of saying this was the best kicker in college football. I purposely said one of the best because I don't know all of the kickers in college football. And unfortunately, that kicker last year from 30 to 39 yards was 6 for 11. That is not good.
Huh.
Now, I happen to think because they trotted him out there against Louisville, he kicked a 57-yarder, and they had the confidence in him to kick a 57-yarder. That's the part that surprised me. I'm like, okay, any college kicker you throw out there, because I just think of college kickers as being erratic, and I think of FSU as having been cost several championships, even after recruiting great kickers, because college kickers tend to be erratic.
You also sent us down some weird rabbit hole where you were asking if this was the first Jose to ever play at the University of Miami. I scrolled through every year, year by year, and finally got to your year. You're going to be excited. 1972 to 1974, Jose Gonzalez.
Thank you, Stugatz. That seems like an extraordinary waste of your time. It has been 50 years, 50 damn years, half a damn century since the University of Miami could lean on a Jose. Thank you. Unfortunately, that Jose was 6 for 11 from 30 to 39 yards last year. Chris Cody, answer this question for me. As someone who loves the Miami Heat, do you want Denver or the Lakers?
Oof. Man. Oh, my mind is telling me that I want the Nuggets, but my heart and my guts is telling me I want the Lakers. Bring them on. That didn't really make sense. I want the Lakers.
No, it does make sense because Mike Ryan's in the same place as you are, where you would think that the Nuggets would be the easier road. You would think that Miami Heat fans would want the best chance to win the title, but Mike Ryan wants LeBron James. I think it's a bad thing to want.
Why win one title when you can win two? You get LeBron and the Lakers, it will feel down here like the Heat have won two championships. I am with the guys. Listen, I'm neutral. I'm not a Heat fan. You want that series. You want the best team. You want LeBron James. That's what you want.
We want the smoke. I want it all at this point. In a year where the title can probably be put with an asterisk because all these talking heads will just do that, you go through the two-time reigning MVP, your hated rival, and LeBron James inside that bubble. Just beating LeBron James means so much. 6 years after he leaves, the Miami Heat potentially find themselves back in an NBA Finals, overcoming the blood clots that might have made this matchup something that we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals, to be honest. Man, this would be so sweet, especially for Pat Riley. Oh, man.
Well, I'm interested because Dan has a very unique, great relationship with Pat Riley. What do you think Pat wants?
That's a good question. It's going to hurt, though, Mike, a little bit extra if you lose to him, and you will be a big underdog, expected to lose to him, even as the bubble makes all this stuff really tough to predict. You would lose to him outside of that bubble. You would lose to him outside of that bubble.
I'm not certain they'd be here outside of the bubble. So
I think we're just attaching what we saw in the regular season to what we're seeing in this bubble. I think this is a different season. You're seeing that with the leaps that Bam Adebayo has made and Tyler Hero has made. I know there's a viral screen cap making the rounds throughout Heat Twitter that 538 actually favors the Miami Heat in that matchup. Now, I think some of that has to do with the timing that it came out and the fact that the Lakers had a smaller lead in their respective series. But this is a whole new ballgame. This is a whole new ball game, and I don't think LeBron wants to see Miami. I'll guarantee you that. This is a team that that LeBron James wants to see the least because he doesn't want any of that attached to
it. I don't think at this point in his life, given the confidence that LeBron James should and does have at what he does for a living, and he was right the other day, by the way, Stugatz, for all the people who've been talking about him on television for 10 years, he said that all of us would poop our pants if we were in his pressurized situations. And he's absolutely right about that. Like that is what he said. Well, he didn't say poop.
Right.
He said that we would all, if we faced the pressure that he faces,
right,
playing in these games, we would all poop our pants.
Okay, we're not world-class athletes. I mean, he is.
LeBron is very calculated with everything he puts out. I'm convinced he tweets something about Joe Burrow as the Heat are playing. This is a reflection on LeBron James's greatness. If the Miami Heat make it to an NBA Finals 6 years after he left, when you consider what a tire fire the Cleveland Cavaliers organization is every time he leaves, when you consider that the Lakers, yes, they're the actual comp when we talk about who goes to the NBA Finals within the span of 15 years with a different core. They're 20 years, but they're the closest comp. But they missed the playoffs last year. It was a struggle. The Magic Johnson thing was a national joke. It reflects poorly on LeBron James that the Miami Heat find themselves back in there, and if they eliminate him, there's something to be said for culture again.
This is all an interesting conversation. Billy, where do you side on all of this stuff? You've got the skeptical Billy face, and I always want to hear from what comes out of the skeptical Billy face. And we can't because your microphone's not working, but we will come back to you at another time, because this conversation, what I was saying earlier, Stugatz, about I don't know, given the emotion of fan bases throughout the country.
Right.
I don't know how often, if you have a team good enough to get to the final game, how many people expect to lose. I don't know if emotion works that way, because I am sitting here and telling you that I love all things Miami. I want my city to feel good. I love the way a championship chasing team seems to unite a sports community. Even at a time where we seem more divided than ever. It feels good, and I want my city to feel good. Civic pride is one of the things that uniform ends up representing in sports in a way that's pretty cool all the time. But my knowledge of basketball throughout history, save for Chauncey Billups and a disintegrating Shaq and Kobe, is if you have Shaq and Kobe, you're the one that's going to win that series.
Correct.
If
you have Kawhi and Paul George, you're probably going to win that series. They lost the series. Like, strange things are happening in the bubble.
Correct.
That changes
but when you're coming at Kawhi and Paul George with Jokic and Murray, it's different than with what the Heat are going out there with. Like, the Heat don't have anyone in that class. In the class of what you're seeing dominating playoff game.
Jimmy Butler would be the third best player on both of these teams, right, in the Western Conference?
Jimmy Butler may be the third best player on this team, given what we've seen from Bam Adebayo. Stop taking away from Bam Adebayo. He was an all-star during the regular season pre-pandemic, and he's made another leap.
Mike, whoever the Heat's best player is, okay, because you're right, it's debatable. You can argue a couple of guys, but that guy would be the third best player on either of the teams in the Western Conference.
Tyler Hero's their best player. There, I said it.
Oh, come on. Knee jerker. Billy, does your microphone now work?
Test. Does it work?
Yes. What were you saying?
I don't know. How much do you think LeBron actually thinks about Miami, right? Because at this point, we're like two X's ago, right? And LeBron's the one that broke up with Miami, not the other way around. And then he went to Cleveland and he won a title in Cleveland.
I don't think he fears anybody.
Go to LA.
Remember when LeBron was a Cav. Now, a lot has changed since then. He finally won his title for Cleveland. He's moved across the country, and times have changed, especially for the Miami Heat organization. But when they're chanting LeBron is scared at the Heat games because he doesn't want to dress out and give Miami fans in attendance that joy, and he points to his ring, he's shown time and time again he'll say the wrong thing in the media. Like, it'll get in his head, and I just don't think he wants this matchup given his history.
We're two X's away. We're maybe not his most recent X, but we're the only X left at this party, baby. and he is noticing us, and he wants to avoid us.
I see
he walked away from.
I see the fear in your eyes, Chris. You think this conversation is premature. You think you're going to go back to pooping your pants if the Celtics win tonight.
I'm marking all of this sound if the Celtics make a comeback.
And Roy is also afraid, and what the image we conjured in your head was what, Roy?
I absolutely do not want Dion Waiters to win a championship over the Heat.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
That's the real bad boy in this series.
Can you imagine if Dion Waiters is holding a trophy over culture in a sweep? Turn it up, baby. This is the Diesel, Vin Diesel. This makes Chris happy. This makes Billy happy.
It's good.
He's got a great deal of production help there. He is a pretty universally terrible singer.
What?
Oh, stop.
I know.
The Diesel, Vin Diesel, bringing it. Billy, feel it in your soul. I heard you during the break. You are an unusual sports fan in that Billy's got a big, big weekend coming up, and he wants to fast forward through it because he's scared of everything, and he is filled with fear. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. We'll get back to Billy in a second. But first, well, hold on a second. I don't want to go to Christine yet because I'm just enjoying the dulcet sounds of Vin Diesel
singing.
You'd
rather stay with Vin than go to Christine?
Let's listen to this for a while.
This is what we needed to get through all of this, guys.
Tweeter writes in, listening to the Lebatard show and hearing the confidence and this gentleman's sweep talk, it would be hilarious listening on Monday if the series was 3-3. You're absolutely right, sir.
And finally, about 47 million years ago, whales had legs and lived both on land and in the sea.
No.
Speaking of, back to you.
No!
Wow, I like that.
Speaking of whales that can walk around.
A little trip up on Murray, I heard it, but I'll let it go because you just delivered a beauty.
Oh, nice.
And next time, say, Murray!
Stop yelling at her.
I am a little aggressive. Sorry.
Billy, explain this to me because I find you fascinating as a study of the sports fan because here we are. The Marlins can get into the playoffs today. The Marlins can clinch a playoff spot in the weirdest season you've ever seen on the four-year anniversary of Jose Fernandez's death. Okay, a very emotional one. The saddest moment in club history, Jose Fernandez, with so much promise, dying 4 years ago. They could clinch a playoff spot today. Billy has been a Marlins fan since he was his earliest memories are of the Marlins. And he wants to just fast forward through the weekend so that he doesn't feel stressed. And I'm just really confused by it.
Is that weird? Why is that weird? Do you like being stressed? Do you like having heart palpitations? Do you like thinking, is this chest pain stress or am I having a heart attack? Listen, I've been hurt before, okay? And I want to avoid being hurt again. I'd like to just fast forward because we came into this week sitting pretty, thinking, oh, this is guaranteed. We're playing for the division now. And 3 days later, we're fighting for a playoff spot. Let's just get me to Monday and see how this whole thing played out, all right? Maybe Tuesday, the off day, we can go back and say, wow, tomorrow we're going to have a playoff game. Or, you know what? What a happy little season. But I did it without the stresses of the weekend. I don't need it in my life right now.
What if it plays out poorly, though? You just want that news on Monday? Like that, then you'll be sad and upset and disappointed and have a bad week. I mean, don't you want to enjoy the weekend?
No, that's exactly what I want to fast forward through. Because if I was just about going into something that's going to be fun and exciting, yeah, I want to see this happen. But I'm guarded. I'm trying to protect myself from disaster, which could be happening because the Yankees haven't clinched the two seed yet.
Bad for you.
American League East.
I do too.
And yesterday, Billy, the Blue Jays.
Terrible.
Billy, you are several exit ramps beyond guarded. I have never heard a sports fan go into a weekend that's got a lot of possibility and want to just fast forward to the other side of it. So that he doesn't feel pain or fear. Like, this is a level of fear I've never heard before in a sports fan.
That's just, I'm trying to protect myself. Adele said it best, Dan. Hello from the other side.
Billy, but we're not supposed to be here. The Heat, the Marlins, like, this is all bonus stuff. We're exceeding expectations. Relax, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy this weekend.
I will not enjoy this weekend, and that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Okay. This is unbelievable.
Like Adele said.
Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Without some sort of trauma in your life, have you ever gone into an exciting weekend when your sports team can clinch and want to fast forward through the weekend? Because honest to God, I know that you have voices in your head that are always telling you to be afraid, but they're actively getting in the way of what could be joy tonight. Like if they say they win tonight without fast forwarding through the week and they win tonight and they clinch, you will be denied the joy because you are afraid of the consequences.
That's right. And you want to hear an even sicker thought that's gone through my head this week? Do the Marlins really want to make the playoffs? Because if they make the playoffs and then lose in the first round immediately, the hopes are going to be up and then they're just going to be crushed immediately. And then next year there's going to be this expectation. Oh, the Marlins made the playoffs. They're going to be so good this year. And then they fall back down to earth because it becomes a normal season. And then what was it all for? What was all the excitement and stress for? Thank God for Vin Diesel. Am I right? What a perfect time for him to put out that song. It's a banger. And if Calvin Harris had put out that song, Dan, that would win a Grammy. There's no doubt about that.
If Calvin Harris put out that Vin Diesel banger, it would win a Grammy.
It sounds better. I mean,
Billy, I can't tell you like how confused I am by your sports fandom and just the general arguments that break out inside of your head. Because this should be an enormous, you should be like buoyant all day today about the idea that your team playing the Yankees can
magic number two. I mean,
magic number two, the captain, that's where they won the last World Series.
I see.
All I'll tell you is this, Dan, just thank your lucky stars that you only have to deal with what's going on in my head for 3 or 4 hours a day and not 24 like I have to.
Interesting story from the Ringer here, because you've seen a difference between the freedom that basketball players have, the power that basketball players have, the partnership that basketball players have with their sport, and the way the football players have the relationship that they have with the commissioner who represents the owners that they don't trust. Owners that the Miami Dolphins came out on opening day and put their approved coaches stamp on, we don't trust our owners to be really about this social cause stuff that we're about. And the article in the Ringer, the headline is, the political donations of NBA owners are not so progressive. And it continues, NBA teams and owners have publicly pledged their solidarity with black players in the fight against racism and police brutality, but the political donations of many franchise governors have overwhelmingly favored Donald Trump and the Republican Party. What does it mean for a league to send one message with statements and another message with money? Now, this is interesting because some NBA players also don't trust that this partnership about this particular issue isn't just lip service. You've had players put their name, Kyrie Irving, Iguodala, on, well, I'm going to wait and see if my owners are actually riding with me on this stuff or if they're just saying so because it's easy now. But the fracture will be worse because for as bad as it is in football that the owners castigated Colin Kaepernick and then beyond that, that they were on the wrong side of history for four bleeping years, putting institutional pressure on he and his peers, on the labor, to not do this thing that they believed in. That's one kind of hurt. But if you go back to the bubble after protesting, and you go back to the bubble with the support and partnership of your owners, and then you read that, you know, Steve Ballmer, not Steve Ballmer, because he's not one of the guys who's here on this list. But when you read all of these guys that they have, you know, you've got the difference in donations from James Dolan being $2 million to the Republican Party and $175,000 to the Democratic Party. When you, it's all there. It's all public. All, you can read this article for yourself, and you should read the article for yourself so that you see how the money aligns in a way that you might not trust the words coming out of mouths. That it's easy for them to do that, even as Woj is reporting that some of the owners weren't down with the idea of Black Lives Matter being on the court during the playoffs.
But you're right. It will be worse if the players arrive at a point where they think the owners, because they have said it, because it's an easy and convenient thing to say right now, where they think the owners are partners with them and want to help and instigate change if they get outside of that bubble and the owners going back to being the owners. You
agree with me, though, right? That that when you look at in terms of the hurt of what this would be, basketball players have gotten in line with the commissioner that they respect, who represents these owners in a way that makes it feel to all of us that these people are partners in a way they're not in the NFL. It would hurt more, I would think, at least for whatever it is that the NFL is doing with owners mostly hiding in the shadows. At least you could see where it is their position is. It's not, there's not like a disingenuous position in the NFL on this. They're just hiding.
Their silence says a lot.
But they're hiding, and they're not doing this. They're not doing some of, when you look at some of these numbers, you're going to be like, man, and I get that, by the way, I get that money supports that party. Like, money supports not wanting to be taxed the same way. So I sort of get that portion of it, but I'm not a player. Like, I'm not somebody who has just put down my principles to get back in a bubble to, you know, make a statement I might be in, not, you know, I might want to make in the streets instead of while playing basketball to distract people. I would think that this, if you're reading this, you'd find it more hurtful than even what the NFL did if something like this continues.
Now, Goodell has shown support, right? So it's going to be interesting to see if that continues, because I think the NFL players more so than ever feel like they're partners with Roger Goodell.
No.
More so than ever, no, Dan. The bar's been set pretty low.
No. Goodell has come out here and done the public relations thing on behalf of owners who remain in hiding. Like, no, you think these are just words. We saw what that was about for 4 years. Like, that doesn't get erased with "I'm sorry." Tim Kirkshin is going to join us next.